Hey, I'm Dustin.
And I'm Steve. Welcome back, listeners, to the finest phototainment in the world. Why did I write this? It's so hard to say. That's right, you're listening to another episode of the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast, an irreverent look at wedding photography. This podcast, like aspirin, will help you recover from your wedding hangover. First up, Dustin, I want to talk about how you screwed me over.
Yeah?
Yeah. Last week on the podcast, you were like, hey, Steve, what are you doing next weekend? And I was like, I'm not shooting, but Jen is, and my life is great and everything is wonderful.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, and everything was good for me and everything was great. And then putting those vibes out into your world screwed me over. Yeah, your world of working all the time. Because somehow Jen upsold her clients on a second shooter. So now I am working this weekend. I will be shooting all day Sunday.
But now you're getting that sweet, sweet cheddar.
Yeah, but I have to start shooting at like 7 in the morning. It's one of those weddings.
Sweet, sweet cheddar where you done at noon.
It's only a 6-hour wedding, so I guess I'm not shooting all day. It's like we start at like 8 o'clock, the actual shooting, and
you're done at
like
2.
Yeah.
That's an amazing package.
No,
those are my favorite.
It's my least favorite. That means that Steve has to wake up early. Do you know how often Steve wakes up that early in the morning? Every day
to put
his son on the school bus. That is correct.
Every day.
But he hates it.
Yeah. My daughter woke up at 6 this morning, and so I was not a happy camper. But I was okay because she's gone 2 nights in a row going to bed by herself. So this is not a parenting podcast, though, so we will move on.
Dustin, let's dive straight into follow-up. Dustin, you are looking so good right now. You look like you've dropped a few more LBs. Did you drop some LBs? How's that diet working out for you? The liquid diet?
Liquid diet, the tequila diet. I am down 20 pounds in 2 months as of today.
Dustin, I'm proud of you. And you got a new haircut, too. That's right, everybody. Dustin is sporting a brand new haircut. It's very short on the sides, very long on top. Still got his patented wave in the front.
Just trying to look good for you, Steven.
And to top it all off, you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt tonight. Oh, baby. That feels tropical in here.
I was doing a video shoot today, and I find that when I wear something like this, it throws off the person I'm interviewing and disarms them a bit, so they're not as focused on the cameras because they can't take their eyes off my Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, because they show up and they're like, who's this weird-looking chucklehead?
Exactly. Yeah. And they're so in the back of their mind thinking about that they're not like, man, there's 2 cameras, a microphone, and all this other stuff going on.
I thought I was coming to a professional shoot, and this chucklehead shows up in a Hawaiian shirt? What the hell's going on here?
That means we can just have an open, honest conversation.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Next up, your copyright situation. Has your lawyer finally told you to stop talking about it on the podcast, or are you going to keep talking?
Keep talking, baby.
What's going on? What's going on? Give us the deets.
Sure. She emailed me a copy of the cease and desist letter today. And I approved it, and so she will be mailing it out tomorrow. And we'll kind of take it from there.
Next up, Dustin, how did the military reunion thing go? This is basically Dustin news. That's what follow-up is today. It's what's going on with Dustin's life.
Dustin news. It's because Dustin lives a very interesting life, or at least I try to feel like I do, and Steve doesn't really share much about his life, so we don't always get much follow-up from Steven.
Well, I like to keep my personal life personal.
So yeah, the military reunion thing went great. It went amazing. He came home. There were hugs. There were kisses. And I missed all of it. So yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I was at the airport and parked where I was told to park, and I get a call from the bride telling me that she was just informed that the flight was delayed and he wasn't going to make it in for another 4 hours.
Oh.
And I had to be in Cleveland for a wedding. So, yeah, it was a bit of a downer. I was pretty upset about it. Obviously not as upset as she was.
Hey, Dustin, remember when I was like, I need you to bring back those positive good vibes for me from this military reunion thing?
Yeah.
I want to see those pics. I want to see a video. I want to get all that goodness because, you know, my life's been kind of down. I've been kind of depressed recently, and I could really use a pick-me-up. And now what you've brought is all that negative energy into our podcast, and now we're pushing that negative energy out to our listeners. So listeners out there, I'm sorry. This is your life now.
I mean, at the end of the day, he made it home. He got to see his newborn baby. And yeah, it was just a bummer that I wasn't able to be there to capture it for them.
That is a bummer. I'm sorry, buddy. Next up in our follow-up, I'm trying to move us right along through this because there's just so much follow-up. It's literally killing me.
Which is about when most people stop listening. Yeah. So this is perfect.
Remember when you made me talk about MoviePass on this show, which I didn't want to do. Well, Dustin, did you hear the crazy news about what happened to MoviePass? I saw it on Twitter.
I didn't.
Oh, Dustin, they ran out of money and they couldn't buy tickets for people anymore because they ran out of money. And then as a result, you know what they had to do? They borrowed $5 million in the middle of the night to get their service back online. So if you're out there and you have a movie pass, just know that you're continuing to bankrupt a company that was stupid and did something very dumb with its money, which was buy you movie tickets at a reduced price.
I'd love to know who lent them $5 million. I mean, you would just have to have so much money to be like, wow, this business model of essentially giving people free movie tickets and in return selling the data that you gather from your app on them. I don't know. I mean, I see the concept, but it can't outweigh how much movie tickets cost.
I think this person you know, it'd be great right now if I could own an American company. I will loan them this money. And then when they default on the payments, I own their company. That's what happened.
That's true. Yeah, but then they own a company worth nothing.
But they got their foothold. The Russian company, the Chinese company, whatever it was, they just got a foothold into the American business world.
Only cost them $5 mil.
That's chump change. Come on.
I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get in on the bandwagon when it first started, just so I could have at least had a little bit of the joy of all those who have it. I know one of our good friends has it and have used it all the time. And I don't know if their long-term play was that they hoped that movie theaters would see that enough people were using it, that they would decrease the amount that they would pay MoviePass, or what the play was. I saw that other theater chains have come out with competing apps.
Sounds like people thought it was a good idea then in the end. That's probably why these other people are investing $5 million into it with a loan.
But they're charging.
It's not really an investment. It's a loan. Jeez. What a stupid, stupid thing to do. They should have just shut their company down. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, they have, as a result of this, raised their prices from $9.99 a month to $14.99 a month, and they no longer allow you to see movies that are considered prime or premium or something like that.
What does that mean?
It means like when Avengers Infinity Wars comes out, you can't see it until like a month later or something.
So it's kind of like what, like Redbox.
Yeah, it's like the Netflix of the movie theaters or the Redbox of the movie theaters. Which, I mean, is still a great service to be in. But, I mean, they already had restrictions. Like, you could only see a movie once. You couldn't, like, if they found out that you were buying tickets to other movies and then sneaking into movie, like, you'd get banned from the service. All sorts of things. Like, they knew people were abusing this to, like, go see Avengers a million times. But they have, this terrible idea of theirs has finally caught up with them. But, you know, all of our businesses will fail at some point in time, Dustin, just like all of us will die. See, you brought that negative energy when you missed that military thing, and now I'm pushing it out into the rest of the episode. We're all going to die, everyone. Yay.
So
let's do some beer talk.
How's that beer, Steve?
Yeah. Tonight, Dustin is drinking a...
water.
If you talk chemical compounds again, I'm going to kill you. And then kill myself. That's the negative energy that you've brought into this whole thing.
I am drinking a supercharged ionized alkaline water that is too pure to even be tested by common day pH strips.
Supercharged, let's hear it in your voice. Come on, give me a little pep. Give me a little energy. I need something to go on here.
Supercharged! That's all I got.
Tonight, Steve's back on that Scarlet Lane Dorian Stout. There's nothing like a free beer, and there's no free beer that's better than Scarlet Lane. It's a great Indiana beer for a great Indiana man like me, Steve Van Elk.
Cool. Since Steve Van Elk is sponsored by Scarlet Lane.
Steve Van Elk is powered by beer. That's probably why I'm getting gout in my joints.
I'm just joking.
My big toe, one that I got the glass that stabbed into it before that wedding I shot a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It feels like it's out of socket or something. It's been very painful this week. You know what, Dustin? I do have some good news. Let's drop some good news on the listeners. Listeners, you may remember I shot a wedding earlier this summer. My jacket disappeared at that wedding. Randomly went back to the winery the other day just because I wanted to try some of the wines with my wife. And it was...
No, you were after that jacket, Steve. Do not lie to me.
I was not after the jacket. I completely forgot about it. We walked in, though. The first thing Jen did was go talk to somebody about my jacket. And they're like, well, if we have it, it's probably over here. And they point to one jacket on a hanger all alone.
And all alone. The lonely jacket.
Like, do you think that's your jacket? And I was like, I don't know. It's a black jacket, like I told you. Does it say H&M on the tag? It does. Yes, that's my jacket. Why couldn't you have called me back anytime over the past 2 months? But it doesn't matter because I got the jacket back, and that's all that matters. My second shooter, on the other hand, her jacket is gone. Straight
gone. Her jacket is toast.
Well, my jacket was picked up by somebody working there because when I lost it, nobody was in the area except for workers. So there's a pretty good chance I'd get mine back, I felt like. And then it just took 2 months and just dragging it out. My second shooter, her jacket was lost during the reception at a table that guests were sitting at. So it was not like a table guests were seated at. It was like a table that guests could go to, like once dancing started or whatever. And she accidentally left it there. And then I think a guest picked it up and walked out with it.
That guest should be hunted down.
Dustin, let's push straight into topics. First up this week, we want to talk about a little slideshow on topicsoffbeat.com.
Yeah, I didn't know you were writing for these guys.
23 hideous Pinteresty wedding trends that need to go.
Yeah, I didn't know you were writing for other blogs and stuff.
I'd gladly write for other blogs if they want to pay me that money. But
because when I was going through this, every single one of these offbeat hipster trend things sounded like it came straight from the mouth of Steven Van Elk.
You're like, oh, this sounds like something Steve would make fun of and say was terrible and shouldn't be happening.
Especially like every like six slides, they make fun of donut walls. And then towards the end, there's like donut shish kebabs. And then it says like, never mind, these would be a fantastic way to eat donuts. I'm like, this sounds like something Steven would say.
So, I mean, Dustin, do you want to go through and just what were some of the highlights of this list to you?
There's a few obvious ones that I thought, you know, are gone, should be gone, like selective color and things like that.
My favorite was they posted a photo of Converse All-Stars, like the bride and groom wearing them. And they're like, look, you're not unique. Every bride has a pair of Converse All-Stars they wear on the wedding day. And all I could see when I looked at the photo was it's a black and white image where the Converse or the All-Star was pink. And that was the only thing you could see because it's selective color. And I was like, oh, they must be talking about how selective color is stupid. But no, they're talking about how Converse All-Stars are stupid. And I was
I
like,
know, that's what oh, I thought
no,
too.
That's great. You can do both.
Now, they pretty much called out every trendy thing that any wedding is doing today. And they really were hammering on donut walls, which I like the donut wall thing. I think that's fun and cool, even though I'm not eating carbs right
As
now.
As a couple of fat Midwesterners, we love that donut wall. You know what I'm saying? Got to get down on that donut wall. Justin, you fuck with the donut wall? You fuck with the donut wall, buddy?
I'm not quite sure how to respond to that.
Did you fuck the donut on the wall? Justin, did you fuck with that?
What? Steven, you have hit a wall, my friend. but no, I love a good donut. Donuts are like my favorite thing ever
to fuck with.
And when I see them at a wedding, I'm like, yeah, I would I'd take one of those.
You fuck with it.
The worst is when you see a donut wall at a wedding reception and you, because typically they're pretty predominant when you walk in, they're like a decor piece. And you walk in, you're like, oh, yes, donut wall.
And then there's flies all over it.
And then later on, you sneak one, you eat it, and you're like, this is the worst fucking donut I've ever had.
Wow. I opened up the floodgates when I started making my jokes about fucking with donuts. And now I'm going to have so much editing to do in this episode. It's going to be all shutter sounds the whole time. Just, you know how we do.
That's why you should shoot mirrorless.
Dustin, you can't use a mirrorless... to bleep out a cuss word. There's no sound. Do you just want me to put in the beep? Like, beep,
Nope, I was just transitioning into a little bit of gear talk.
I don't want to get there yet. I want to talk about this. They said candy buffets need to go. And then they specifically said, unless you're marrying Willy Wonka, this is not necessary. Who wants to take the joy of the Candyman out of a wedding? The Candyman can.
Yeah, I like the candy buffet things. I think those are fun. Unnecessary, but when
the Candyman makes the world go round, Dustin.
Right.
That's man, I am jazzed tonight. I had some caffeine before this, a little Mountain Dew action. You know what I'm talking about? I am pumped. I'm just happy to be here with you, Dustin. Happy to be talking to all of our listeners out there. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode. And, we've hit the 16-minute mark. That means most of our listeners have already dropped off. That's right. If you're... No, I'm joking.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Most of our listeners... I told you right before the episode, I was like going over stats with you, and I was like, most of our episodes... listeners stay through to the very end, but like 10% leave at 8 minutes in. Those are probably new initiates. They're not familiar with our voices yet.
The sexy stones of Stephen Van.
Yeah, I imagine. Ooh. It's just a bunch of people who can't handle how horny they're getting for this podcast.
God. Oh,
these are all references. These aren't original jokes, guys. These aren't original jokes. I got nothing for you. I'm just a man who's watching and listening to other stuff and bringing it in. Dustin watches Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and he brings all those Seinfeld jokes here. That's why every time Dustin starts telling a joke on the podcast, he starts it off with, "What's the deal with mirrorless cameras?" Okay, you want to get down to your mirrorless camera news? Come on, start it out. Give me a what's the deal. Give me a what's the deal. Come on.
So what's the deal with the mirrorless cameras?
Actually, the whole what's the deal thing would have worked much better with the hipster trends that we're trying to get rid of. Do you have one hipster trend you really hate that you just want to riff on for a few minutes here?
No, not really. So what made the article funny, and Steve will post this in the show notes, is just simply how much the author rips on these certain things, because as a Midwest photographer, Steven and I see these trends all the time, probably more myself than Steve. But like, for example, one was like using burlap as a napkin, and it was like, why would you use the worst material on earth as a napkin? And I thought that was humorous. I could totally see a bride doing that.
What's the deal with photos where someone's hands are making a heart shape?
Yeah, your Jerry Seinfeld impersonation is really bad.
It's very bad. Yeah, no, I don't do Seinfeld, man. That's my jam. It was my jam when I was a kid. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you watch Seinfeld? I recently rewatched all of it on Hulu.
There's this scene in Seinfeld where he walks up to a mirror and then he realizes it's not a mirror. And then he realizes he's mirrorless. Speaking of mirrorless.
Ooh, segue. Nike. It was a little forced. I felt like you were forcing that one.
I was holding your hand and dragging you down that.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the Marx Brothers when they do the whole mirror thing, but there's not a mirror and it's mirrorless. And it's really just like Groucho on one side and Harpo on the other. And like they each keep doing the same thing. And then like one of them just hits the other one and walks away. That's a good bit, you know?
I'm all about them bits. Speaking of bits, Nikon released a video teaser this week teasing... I think anything, it was a bit of a PR move, because both Nikon and Canon, have already come out and said, hey, we cannot compete with Sony and use our current lens lineup. So the mirrorless cameras we're about to drop that you guys are all waiting for, that you're all so excited for. Yeah, you're going to need new lenses for those. So their teaser video, was showing off the new mount. Because, you know, what's the most sexy thing about a camera lens? It's the mount.
Mm-hmm. I frequently look at a camera lens and just think, how am I going to mount this thing, huh?
Huh? I just constantly look at the hole in my camera and think, man, what's that silver ring around it?
No. You want to talk about how you insert your lens into the hole? Do you want to get sexual with this? Is that where you're going with this?
No, Steve.
I was going for a horseback
platonic riding
sort of thing, mounting, you know? But if you want to get crass, you want to get a little blue on our podcast, go for it, buddy. Come on. Did you fuck with that mount? Did you fuck with that?
Speaking of...
Did you fuck with that mount like a donut hole?
The fine fellows at Best Buy have started offering photography workshops, Steve. How do you feel about this?
I mean, when I think photography workshop, I typically think to myself, where would I want to go to learn about photography?
Radio
and
Shack.
And I'm like, Radio Shack? No, they're basically out of business. Walmart? No, they don't offer photography workshops. Where else could I go that brings that same sense of style, but also that same sense of like, we're everywhere? And Best Buy is probably the next one that comes to mind right after Walmart. They both got that blue vibe. I like it a lot.
Yeah, blue with khakis, man. That's, I want that all day in my life.
So my question is, so Best Buy, to sum things up, Best Buy has decided they're going to have this new camera experience shop, and they're hiring people to work in their camera shops who are more experienced than their current employees. It's probably just the same employees with different training. Then they're doing these beginner photography classes that are about 2 hours long, and they're free to take, and they take 30 people in each class, and they're doing them all over at, not all over, they're doing them at 80 different locations across the U.S.
So are you in?
Why? These are beginner photography courses, except there's also an intermediate photography course.
For $50.
And?
Where they load you up on a bus, but you meet at Best Buy. It's like summer camp.
And you make a best friend at Best Buy.
We call them best friend buy. Bryce friend? Friend?
No, I'm leaving you out to hang. Come on, keep going with that. I want to see where you get to.
Best Buy. It's your Best Buy friend.
It's your best photo friend buy.
That sounded like a weird poem pun thing.
Best photo friend buy workshop now.
Now you're sounding a bit like Yoda.
So the intermediate ones are like half a day long. You take a bus out to a pre-arranged location where you do a shoot, and they have like two different things. What are they called? They're like a scrolling stuff.
It's like a photo experience where they set something up, they bring you out, you learn how to use your camera better.
Okay, the first two topics they're doing are travel and exploring and social sharing and storytelling. And so those actually sound kind of cool. They're doing them in Atlanta, Houston, San Diego, Tampa, Seattle, Minneapolis, and New York. And supposedly they're hiring experienced photographers in the area to come in and teach those courses. So these will not be your typical beginner camera experience shop courses. They will be like local pros teaching them, which is kind of like what camera shops all over the U.S. already do. Like Robert's Camera down in Indy, they do photo things every once in a while, like workshops and stuff. And some of them are free. Yeah. Some of them you have to pay for. And I mean, I don't see anything bad with this Best Buy thing. I think it's cool, Dustin, if you want to buy a friend at Best Work.
Friends for sale at the Best Buy.
Yeah. I love the school bus aspect of it too. Like it's gonna be nostalgic for a lot of people, bring them some good vibes. I'm just wondering when they're gonna do a wedding photography one and how we can get them to hire Dustin and I to teach it, right?
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna say, is if we can get enough of you guys together that want a Best Buy experience by Steven and I in Anchorage, Alaska, I think we could we could make this happen.
I think it would have to be in Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, but whatever.
Well, even wear navy blue polos with khaki pants and name tags.
And we'll only charge you $50, and somehow we'll all fly out to Anchorage, Alaska together. This sounds exactly like we're going to lose a lot of money on this.
Call us Movie Pass.
Because we're going out of business. All right. Dustin, what's next up on our podcast notes, baby?
I just wanted to jump back because the Nikon gear talk was pretty boring, pretty lame, pretty
Dustin,
unexciting.
Do you want to go to the drone zone? Is that
going? I want to get. Let me take off into the drone zone.
So without further ado, let's cross over into the drone zone.
All right, Dustin, load us up. What's your big news about the drone stuff? Come on.
So as the listeners might know, I am an avid drone enthusiast, and Steve is an avid buy a drone, leave it in the box, and say he has a drone enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. And love it. That's the only way to live your life, man.
Yeah, it's like one of those collectible Star Wars figurines that you bought when you were five, and you just leave it in the wrapper. And
if you take it out of the wrapper, it's not valuable for resale anymore, Dustin.
So that's how Steve treats his drones.
I'm sorry, but what am I supposed to do with my Leia in the white dress? You think I'm going to go and just play with that? You think I'm going to destroy all the value? That's like $100 right there if you have a first-gen Leia in the white dress. Now, a second-gen Leia in the white dress is basically worthless. But that first-gen, Dustin... Sorry.
Your first-gen Mavic.
Well, that's a better way to take it. I thought you were going to make a joke about my wife since her name's Jen, but very well done. Let's get back to the Mavics. Do you want to talk about that? Not my first Jen.
So the Mavics.
My only Jen.
So DJI, who is like the leader, the all-star.
Oh, man, what a great DJ name that'd be. DJI. It'd be so confusing. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love it.
For SEO and Google purposes, though, it would be terrible.
I think you could do it, man. I think there's a lot of DJs out there who are making plays on, big names and stuff like that. And yeah, I think it works in the end. You get all the YouTube stuff, right? Maybe not.
I just
with a
imagine
video.
That. Imagine that interview. So, DJ Me, how's it going? Yeah, it used to be DJI, and then, you know, the drones came out, and now I go by DJ Me for purely SEO purposes.
And they're like, you mean anyways, the Nintendo Mii's?
Nintendo Mii's.
Yeah, dude, you didn't get down on that? You didn't quit that?
No?
Nintendo Mii's. Anyways. Back when the Nintendo Wii came out, you made a personalized, like, emoji sort of type person for yourself called a Mii. M-I-I. Baby.
See, I don't do video games, so, yeah.
Oh, man, I spent so much time working on my Mii, and then when you played Mario Kart, you could actually use your Mii. Like, oh, gosh, it's so good. If you don't want to use a character, but, like, why would you not use a character? I'm gonna get down on that Yoshi every single time. Maybe every once in a while I'll switch it over to Princess Peach, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not playing Wario.
So DJI announced that they were releasing a new Mavic.
No, that's cool.
Pro.
If you just want to not talk about Mario Kart, that's fine. I mean, I know you have opinions, but you know, whatever. Let's just talk about drones. Yeah, let's talk about drones. Let's just jump straight into the boring stuff.
See over here, guy in the Hawaiian shirt? I'm still in the drone zone. You're over there in Pokemon land.
You know what? I'm sorry, but Mario Kart, you're racing drones around a track. You're not actually in that car, Dustin. Do you want to know how to get good at flying drones? You play video games. It's the same thing. You have a controller in your hand the whole time.
So next time you get your drone out of the package, we'll evaluate your drone flying ability.
What the... Dustin, huh? What?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you over the sound of my drone flying. I'll turn it off and get back to the episode now.
DJI awkwardly announced that they were going to be releasing a new Mavic 2 Pro. However, they pulled the release, but someone didn't get the memo, and an advertisement in a local United Kingdom camera shop accidentally printed an ad for the upcoming release with both pictures and sort of a brief description.
Speaking of horrendous, hilarious trends that need to go, this ad is using some selective color. Everything's black and white except for the Osmo Mobile 2, the screen on the iPhone.
I didn't really look at it very closely.
I'll include a link to this in the show notes.
Because I was too busy reading what they were going to include. And this is really exciting for someone who's wanted to get on the Mavic train,
mm-hmm.
but not really loved what the current Mavic offered. And that is a larger sensor. So the rumor, or the, I guess it's not really a rumor anymore, but the new Mavic 2 Pro, which is going to be pretty expensive from what I hear, is rumored to have a 1-inch Hasselblad camera sensor.
Okay, so I'm bored officially to death. Do you want to talk about what the hell that means? Why it's important to you? Like, do you think that's good at all? Or did you just want to say random word vomit diarrhea at everybody? It's going to have a Lumix Panasonic GH5 processor, and like that's what it sounds like to normal people when they're listening to it, because they're just like, oh my gosh,
they're going to tie 1,000 bumblebees to the top of the drone with Zeiss wings.
Yeah, like, okay, come on. What does this actually mean, Dustin? What does this Hasselblad sensor give for us?
It just means it's going to be better. It just means it's going to be better image quality, Steve, which I always want better image quality. And I want the Mavic because it's smaller, lighter, faster.
Hotter, better, faster, stronger.
I'm in the process of booking a wedding in Greece right now for next year. And I'd really like to take a drone. But as you know from your experience with me in Africa, lugging the Phantom is a pain in the butt.
Do you want to rent my Mavic? Do you want to rent my drone? Do you want to rent it? You can rent my drone.
Steve, I just don't feel that you would feel comfortable with me flying it better than you.
Do you want to put your hands on my controller, Dustin? Is that what you're saying? You want to get your fingers on my joysticks?
Yeah, more than one. All right.
Yeah, some of us do, Dustin. Some of us do.
That was a very creepy sound.
Hey, Dustin. What's up? You want to touch my drone?
Speaking of Steven being drunk, let's talk about something that we've never spoke about, and it's kind of a wedding photography faux pas. Have you ever done a shoot or wedding hungover, Steven?
Oh, Dustin, that is a great question. I've never done a wedding hungover. I have had like a beer the night before a wedding, but never more than one drink. And sometimes I'm like halfway through a drink and I'm just like, this is a bad idea. And then I cork it or I dump it. But, you know, the wedding the next day is just more important than, you know, the beer retaining its carbonation and goodness. So sometimes I dump it. I'm not going to save a beer. That's not going to save for over a day. Yeah, no, yeah. I've never done a wedding hungover. You know, when I was in college, the day before I had this huge test to see if I could pass some audio certifications to be like an audio engineer, which is something I did not want to do with my life. And it was a test that was not required for the class, but my teacher was like, you can take it for free. It usually costs like $150. And I was like, well, I'll take it for free then. And I went over to my friend's house and we drank rum and coke, and it was Sailor Jerry rum. And my friend halfway through the night goes, oh yeah, I've been putting in quadruple shots in every one that you drank. And we were only two in, but we're all like, that is why we're so drunk right now. We spent the rest of the night throwing up. And then I didn't take the test the next morning. There's no way it's going to make it in time. That's the closest I've ever come to like a shoot hungover. And that was just a test for audio stuff. Have you ever done a shoot
hungover?
That's
why our audio is so bad, Steve. If you had just taken that test.
If I'd taken that test, then I'd have to be editing all of this in Pro Tools. Oh gosh, that program's the worst.
Yeah, but it would be so good. And I feel like our listeners deserve it. So what I want you to do, and what I challenge our listeners
to pay the $150 to take the test
is persuade, pressure, push Steven to go take the test.
I'd have to relearn Pro Tools. It's been oh my gosh. Yes, it's been over 10 years since college.
I don't want you to have to live with this regret.
You know what?
And
you
this
know what?
Unknown.
I've got some good news for the listeners. Listeners, you want to hear some good news?
No.
You want to hear some good news?
No, they don't.
Jen and I are coming up on our 10-year wedding anniversary.
What a perfect opportunity to take this test.
So, Dustin, have you ever done a shoot hungover?
Wait, what about this 10-year? What does that have to do with...
There's been so much awful news today, Dustin. Yeah, you missed your shoot, okay? You missed your shoot. That was supposed to give me all the good vibes, all the good feels. I needed that in my life.
Speaking of awful news, since we're on that track.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, I was inside.
Dustin, I need you to take 1 second and just think, is this going to put a smile on Steve's face?
Yes.
Okay, then you can tell me.
Because it's awful for me means it's great for you.
It better be really awful for you.
So I was at a photo shoot on Tuesday, and there's this one street in Fort Wayne where a lot of businesses and banks are downtown, and the parking meter cop lady just targets it so hard.
Is her name Rita? Would you describe her as a meter maid? Would you say she's lovely? Would you maybe say lovely Rita meter maid?
So, needless to say,
may I inquire discreetly?
I got a parking ticket. So I got this parking ticket. And since I live in small Fort Wayne, Indiana, the parking tickets here are very small, very, you know, it's almost cheaper sometimes or, you know, easier to park, get the ticket and just pay it than it is to actually find a parking garage and park legally because they're only $10.
So the parking tickets are more of just like a parking fee at that point in time.
Yeah, it's more of a nuisance than it is a deterrent. So anyways, I got the parking ticket, and this is literally the only stretch of street in the entire city that I ever get one. And so then today I happened to park in the same location, right? And I was really good about stopping at Starbucks beforehand, getting
would
quarters.
Would you say when you're at Starbucks, maybe you were sitting by the counter seat, when you caught a glimpse of Rita?
And I got, you know, enough money to pump quarters into the meter. And then I went to my meeting, got out of my meeting, had like an alarm set on my phone, got out of my meeting, busted it to my car. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I got another f***ing ticket. And I opened the ticket up, and it's for $100.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, that inflated fast.
Wow.
And so I'm just like in such a bad mood because the photo shoot I just did following my meeting was only for $75. So it's like, I lost money on that shoot because of that parking ticket. So, yeah, it was just like, oh, my gosh. And it was funny because the guy was coming up to pay me as I'm like reading the parking ticket. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, $100 parking ticket. And he's like, oh, wow. So here's the $75 I owe you. It was super funny. Anyway, so I got home tonight and I was going to pay the ticket online. And I realized it wasn't because I missed my meter. It was because my license plates were expired.
Dustin?
They expired yesterday.
How's Daddy Trump going to keep tabs on you if you don't renew your license plate?
I just think that's even worse than the parking.
You know what, Dustin?
Was that
I was back home in Elkhart for, this is the depressing thing. One of my best friends from high school, his dad passed away this week. That's why I was back home in Elkhart. And you know how sometimes I make fun of your rental business and I call it Little Trump Properties?
No.
Yeah. I've said that many times. I've said it on the podcast before. I've been like Little Trump Properties. Well, when I was in Elkhart, I saw a sign for Trump Properties.
Oh,
I was like, Dustin expanded all the way up here. Way to go,
that's
Dustin.
Right. Don't you forget it, Steve.
You know, I want to bring some goodness. I want to bring some happiness in the world because it's been a real, real crappy week for me. So I just want to say, speaking of back home, speaking of where I grew up, my very good friend from high school, one of my best friends, Adam Ramsey, also known as Shotgun Ramsey on Instagram. He works for Robert's Camera downtown Indy. And one day somebody brought in a roll of film and the roll of film said Shotgun Ramsey on it. And now it's like stuck. And like somebody bought him a camera strap the other day that just said Shotgun on it and stuff. And, it warmed my heart seeing this, but Shotgun Ramsey, the man himself, he shot his first wedding this last weekend and I've seen a few of the photos and they are excellent. And, you know, good. I want to bring some goodness, some happiness in this world. If you get a chance, check out my friend Shotgun Ramsey. He has a lot of photos for the Indy 11, the soccer team here in Indy. And, he's an awesome human being. And he's one of my good friends from high school.
Good friends. Good people. Good times.
And do you want to say something nice? You want to say something positive? You want to bring some good vibes onto this podcast with us? You want to give a shout out to somebody? Who's somebody everybody else should check out? Who's somebody cool?
I've got nothing.
Cool. I'm just trying to put some good vibes back out in the world, okay? I want people to be happy this week. Dustin, can you be happy for once?
I'm always happy.
You got $100 fee that you get to pay to Daddy Trump. And now Daddy Trump's $100 richer. Can you think about how you benefited our government for just one second? And let's just take a second to say how much you love benefiting Daddy Trump.
And to make it even better, now I have to go to the DMV tomorrow and renew my license plates.
Mm. See, Daddy Trump is helping you out.
Yeah. So back in 2010, I second shot a wedding hungover.
Oh, Dustin, why would you do that?
To go back to what we were talking about. It's the first and only time, I do believe, that it's happened. And it was real embarrassing. I was second shooting for one of my good friends.
He was a good boy.
No, she's a female.
A good girl.
Photographer in New York. And you can check out her work.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. Put some positive vibes out there. Who is this girl? What's her name? What's her Instagram handle? Push it out, Dustin. Come on. We got to get this out. We need positive vibes in this world. From you to Daddy Trump to everybody else.
Her name is Tressa Marie. And if that's what her her Instagram handle is, Tressa Marie Photo. And I was so hungover, and I shot this wedding. I still did a fantastic job, knocked it out of the park, killed it. But what I didn't...
Hey, you don't need to brag about yourself. We can all go to Tressa now, and we can ask her if you actually knocked it out of the park and killed it. And get the real deets on that. And you don't need to say like Dustin was crushing it and stuff. Okay. We all assume you did a good job. You don't need to tell us. That's called bragging, Dustin.
No, it's called setting the record straight, Stephen. Cause I feel like when people think, oh, he was hungover, he must've done a terrible job shooting that wedding. I was fine by the time the wedding came around. What I didn't really equate for in my pre-night, day before drinking shenanigans was the fact that the location we were going to be shooting at was an hour away, which meant that we were going to leave an hour earlier than what I initially thought. So I didn't think to look at the call sheet as to where the wedding was. I was like, oh, I know what time, you know, everything's happening. And then Tressa called me that morning and was like, hey, I'm on my way to get you. And I'm like, oh, shit, I am so not in good shape. And so I ran, at this time I was still living in New York, ran across the street to the bodega. For those of you who don't live in big cities, a bodega is kind of like a mini mart or like a small gas station convenience store that sells groceries. And I loaded up on Gatorade and protein bars, and I was chugging and eating.
Were your eyes bloodshot when she showed up?
She had to pull over on the way to the wedding so I could throw up twice.
Wow. So she knew you were hungover.
Oh yeah, I told her. I was fully up front. I was a little too much to drink last night.
Did you ever work for her again?
Yes. In fact, I had the honor of shooting her wedding.
How many times did you throw up on that day?
None at all. It was a good learning lesson early on in my career to not drink the night before a wedding.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I had to learn that the hard way in college before a test that didn't really matter, but has now affected our audio for our podcast.
Yes, exactly. And the ramifications of that night have forever scorned us.
The ramifications
of
where
your
we
night
could
be
landed you a paid gig shooting a wedding.
Yeah, and she actually was the photographer for my wife and I's wedding.
Oh, so. She did fantastic work. I'm proud of you for hiring a good photographer. Dustin, I've never shot a wedding hungover from alcohol, but I've shot weddings hungover from weddings. This is the Wedding Photo Hangover podcast, so why don't we talk about that a little bit? Dustin, you said you grab some Gatorade, you grab some protein bars. What else you get? What you f*** with? Did you f*** with some donuts?
This year, we don't have a ton of double and triple headers, but this fall, we do have some coming up here. I believe our first one is... Labor Day weekend is always a big one here in the Midwest. I don't know about you guys, but we have it's not a triple header, but I'm treating it like it is because Saturday and Friday are an Indian wedding. So it's kind of like a triple header followed by another wedding for a different couple on Sunday. You go into it knowing it's going to be rough. I wear really comfortable shoes because shoes are sort of the Achilles heel, if you will. No pun intended.
Don't lie. That was intended. That was intended. Don't believe him when he says, no pun intended.
Speaking of, side tangent here. The wedding I shot on Saturday, I walk into the hotel room. I'm doing my little bit, you know, that I do, and the bride turns to her hairdresser and said, after I walked away, "Oh yeah, we just love our photographer. He has the best dad jokes."
Yeah, you do. That's true.
And I'm just like looking at my wife, and so then I'm like, that can't go without response. And I go to the other hairdresser and I said,
You made a real dad joke. Obviously, come on. Lay this dad joke on us. I want to hear it.
Who obviously heard the bride and was like chuckling. I said, and just to think, this whole time, I thought I was just doing normal jokes. And I was just like, what dignifies what I'm doing as dad jokes?
Well, Dustin, I got to ask you a question. You have a wife, right?
Currently, yes. Yes, as far as I know.
Did you f*** with her?
I need to smoke whatever you're smoking.
Answer
tonight.
The question, Dustin.
And
do you have children? So, now all your jokes are dad jokes.
So this bride, what she didn't realize is she opened this whole can of worms because that was like letting the genie out of the bottle because that was like giving me permission to just go let loose on all my bad jokes for the book.
Tell us some of those bad jokes. I want to hear them.
Like when when you have like the couple like snuggling up and getting all like cutesy and romantic, and I'm like, just snuggle with him like when you Netflix and chill. And then they kind of like start laughing or whatever, and I'm like, I'm sorry, copyright infringement. I mean, Hulu and Hang. And... That always got like a pretty good laugh. That was an original one I came up with.
That second one was bad. You shouldn't have done that. The first one was like, oh, that's kind of a cute dad joke. And the second one was like, oh, this guy doesn't know when to stop the dad jokes.
Oh, I kept going. Oh, no. I was like, oh, wait, are you guys more of like an Amazon and Prime it?
Oh, my gosh, Justin. Oh, gosh.
No.
Oh, so much of me is just groaning right now in pain.
That's just your foot. That's the glass in your foot, Steve. I told you got to get that checked out.
You want to know some great news? Last night, I was trying to screw in something with my hand. It was like a cover.
Please don't talk about your wife like that. It was not on the podcast.
It's one of those covers that goes over the outlets when they're on the floor, you know? It's a metal one. And I was like, oh, I could probably just put this back in with my hand because one of my kids obviously took it out. And no, I completely sliced my thumb from one side to the other. It's fantastic. I'm having a great few weeks here, guys.
You should just not be allowed to move. You should be placed inside of a bubble.
Oh, I could be the bubble boy, just like the Seinfeld episode. You brought it all back together.
That's what I do. All right, moving on.
We want to talk about these hangover weddings when you're hungover. So, Jen and I had a triple one week, a double the next week. That's a triple double. Call me LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, 73 triple doubles this year. in his career. Jeez, Steve, come on, get it together. No, Oscar Robertson is the king, but you know, whatever. More of a Magic Johnson fan myself. Whatever. Anyway, Dustin, enough basketball talk. Jen and I usually we get some Gatorade. Lots of Gatorade. When we know we're going to be shooting like a bunch of weddings in a row, it's like we will bring like four like of the giant Gatorades to the wedding, you know, and like two or three giant bottles of water. You just pound all those down. And then at night, the big thing about not being hungover when you're shooting weddings is you want to get a lot of sleep and drink a lot of liquids.
And have really comfortable shoes.
That's not as important. But the next day, what's really important, you want to have good-looking shoes because you're shooting a wedding and you still take pride in your personal appearance. You're not wearing Hawaiian shirts while you podcast. You know, that's just like a personal thing. But anyway, the important thing is the next day, you got to get that coffee. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of coffee, we finally got a Starbucks that offers nitro cold brew.
Okay, gosh.
Have shit. You experienced?
Let's do some Q&A. I'm sorry. Did you want to keep talking about your Starbucks stuff?
No.
Tell me about your nitro cold brew. I want to hear about this.
I only want to talk about it if you've had it.
Did you have this nitro cold brew when you were in Starbucks? When you got that ticket from Daddy Trump?
No, because Starbucks in Fort Wayne are smart enough to put a parking lot in.
Okay, so Nitro Cold Brew, tell me more about it. I've had the Nitro Cold Brew, just not at an actual Starbucks shop, like the Nitro Cold Brews at like the places that serve the Starbucks coffee or the places that serve like the Starbucks stuff in store in the cans and stuff. Don't they have the Nitro Cold Brew there now too?
No, they have cold brew, so you know nothing about this, obviously.
Oh, I know nothing. Oh, Dustin. Jen and I, all we order at Starbucks is cold brew anymore, so tell me about this nitro cold brew. I kind of know everything.
So no, I am an avid cold brew coffee drinker, too. I don't know if you know what that means, but the coffee is brewed cold and for longer periods of time, thus giving it more caffeine and a smoother, richer, bolder taste. But that's neither here nor there.
Nitro Cold Brew you this week by Starbucks. Nitro Cold Brew. They're our new sponsor. Thanks, Dustin, for running that ad for them.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh, yeah. We got to include our webpage that you go to and our special code. Go for it.
So, totally derailed me.
Starbucks.com/weddingphotohangover. And the special code this week is Daddy Trump.
You were on a roll tonight. But yeah, so nitro cold brew coffee is cold brew coffee in a keg, which I thought this would be way up your alley. And then as it comes out of the keg, like beer, it's infused with nitrogen. So it's instantly cold as it comes out. So they don't give it to you with ice. And then it has this like incredibly smooth, velvety-like texture that's just so good. That's all. That's my bit.
And you can get that at starbucks.com/weddingphotohangover. Secret code, Daddy Trump. All right, let's do some Q&A.
Q&A.
Try that. Starbucks Nitro, that sounds good.
Let's do some Q&A.
But Steve...
Andrew Feller from our Wedding Photo Hangover Facebook group, the Wedding Hangover Facebook group, the second photographer talk on the last episode brought up a question that I get faced with once in a while. What about associate photographers or the person hired to photograph the wedding that for one reason or another you can't photograph? Happened to me last year with a photog in my area who got injured and couldn't shoot for 2 months, and a bunch of us shot the weddings for him. But
that's so nice
at
of
a great, greatly reduced rate, you know, more so than if we had booked them ourselves. How would you go about hiring a photographer, either regularly or just one time, to cover a wedding you can't photograph?
So, yeah, this is a great and relevant question since this has happened to me twice, I believe.
You only hired associate photographers two or three times? I thought you had one on staff. Come on, buddy.
I... I do have an associate photographer on staff, but I was referencing instances where I was unable to shoot a wedding for kind of events outside of my control.
Mm-hmm. Like when you booked another wedding on the same day.
Steve was able to jump in.
Come on. What was the reason Steve jumped in? Because you...
Yeah, I'll be 100% honest with that. Steve jumped in to shoot a wedding for me on the same day I had another wedding because the bride wrote the wrong date on her wedding contract.
Which is crazy. It's cool. I've been listening to the Snappening podcast, and they talk a lot about times when they double book and do stuff like that, and it's their mistake, not the bride's mistake. So we can be completely honest here. People will still keep listening, I promise. All right, continue.
Steve and his wife were kind enough to jump in and help shoot that wedding for me. The bride was happy as could be. I was super bummed because it was a gorgeous couple in a gorgeous venue. And I was really excited to shoot their wedding and, you know, disappointed that I wasn't able to. But they were able to step in. I don't remember what kind of financial arrangement we came to with you guys, but I think it was pretty reasonable. You guys felt compensated. I didn't lose my shirt on the whole arrangement. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, so what Steve was trying to reference earlier was we had a wedding this year. Yeah. Where it was my fault.
No, I actually wasn't trying to reference that. I was just trying to get you to feel comfortable with being honest. People are okay with it if you make mistakes, as long as you're honest, bud. Jen and I make mistakes all the time. One, I'm doing this podcast with you.
Two, you got drunk and never took that audio test. Three, our audio is always blown because of that.
Yep.
I did have a wedding earlier this year where the bride said they were getting married one date, and then ended up changing dates, and I never changed it in my calendar. And then we booked a wedding for that same date. And when we were at the engagement session talking about the wedding, the date came up, and I was like, holy I have a wedding that day. What do I do? And I was like sweating balls the entire engagement session, trying to think, how am I going to get myself out of this one? And luckily enough, I approached them and I was honest with them. And I said, hey, guys, here's what happened. So we can do one of two things. I can have my wife shoot your wedding. She's your favorite person anyways.
I'd rather have Corinne shoot my wedding than you. Sorry, bud.
I know. Most
she's
would.
She's nicer. And she's more fun to be around.
Very. That I don't know. But... I said, or I can, you know, refund you and help you find someone. And they said, oh, no, we're more than happy to have Corinne shoot our wedding. So they were totally cool with it.
Did you give them a discount?
One wedding. Corinne shot one wedding. Hell no. Are you kidding me? They got the better end of the deal. Corinne's better. If anything, I should have charged them more.
nice.
What are some mistakes? What are some snafus with second shooters, scheduling associate shooters, whatever? Give it lay. You guys have really been jerking on the associate chain this year.
We're just trying to find ways to make more money when we get contacted for several weddings on the same date and we can't book it. So,
and thus cutting off Dustin and Corinne Photography's source of referrals.
I'm sorry, we don't get contacted for Fort Wayne weddings.
You're right. Indianapolis is so far away.
You could never shoot those. No, we've referred you several times, Dustin. We only have a few associates we work with, and I don't think we'll ever get to the point where we're taking more than one associate wedding per time. So there was one day where like I was shooting a wedding and an associate was shooting a wedding. Like I was shooting under my brand, an associate was shooting under Jen's brand. And Jen just stayed home with the kids. She had a great day.
Really?
Yeah, she loved it. But anyway, Dustin, associate wedding photographers, we typically pay them somewhere around like $100 an hour. We find that to be a pretty decent rate. Most people are okay with that. And then...
Yeah, that's... To be 100% transparent, that is exactly what we pay our associate photographer.
Yeah. That way, you know, they shoot an 8-hour wedding, they make $800 from that, and then they don't have to worry about any of the pre-planning stuff. They don't have to worry about any of the post-production stuff. All that is on our shoulders.
Can I explain where that gets awkward?
Yeah, tell me where it gets awkward for you. We haven't had any problems yet, but you want to say how it's awkward?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So when we hired our associate photographer last year, we had her come to a handful of weddings for free, which was her idea, as a third shooter, just to kind of feel out weddings. She does primarily portrait and families, and she kills it at that. She's amazing at that. And so she had really no interest in starting her wedding empire like us, and so she was a perfect fit for what we were trying to do.
She started her wedding empire.
So she did like a handful of weddings for us, you know, learning the ropes of the, you know, the typical ins and outs of weddings. And then later on in that year, I asked her if she would be interested in second shooting a wedding with me. This is after she's already associate shot, like, I think one or two weddings last year. And so she came along, second shot. Everything went great. And then at the end of the night, I went to, you know, write her a check. And I told her, you know, like, how much do you want? And then she was like, oh, well, you know, I think we discussed $100 an hour. So this was a 12-hour wedding. So
why didn't you discuss pricing before? So you're trying to put this like, oh, this
I'm
is
not
a
trying
sticky
to put
situation
this on her.
You could get in, but this is an entirely Dustin manufactured situation. We make our associates and our second photographers sign contracts before the weddings. Why are you not doing this? What is going on? This is why every time I shoot a wedding with you and I'm doing first videographer, second videographer, whatever it is, I always get like a text from you afterwards or like right before that's like, how much did we agree on paying for this again? Gosh,
exactly.
Organize your business.
No, but it's just like I kind of have sort of a rate in my mind that I'm paying my second shooters, and I realized she had never second shot for anyone, including me. And so when she came along that day, she was under the impression that she was getting paid her associate photographer rate, which was totally on me, totally my fault. And it was just like, I was like, wait, you're expecting to get like the same amount that as if you were like the main photographer today? Like, and she was really upset about it.
Yeah, she should be, because that's what she expected, because you didn't tell her ahead of time what the pay would be for second shooting.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a very naive thing on my part that I just assume if you're a photographer, you kind of know you're going to be getting somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, let's say $20 to $40 an hour to second shoot. And to get like so much less than that, or is just like, or I mean, to expect more than that would just be bananas in my mind, because I barely use any of my second shooter's photos, unless, of course, you're Steven Van Elk, in which case I use all of your photos.
Never shot photos for you. I've only ever done video. Don't lie to the listeners. We have a contract with them. We always tell them the truth, Dustin, except for when you lie.
That's why I need you to second shoot for me, Steven.
I'd be down for second shooting with you.
I know. I just can't afford you. That's the only problem.
Yeah, I wouldn't be okay with $20 to $40 an hour. Sorry, I'm way more than that. I charge you more than that when I do video for you.
I know. That's why I can never have you. You're like that golden item on the top shelf, and I just always want to reach for you. Someday I'll get to Jen and Steve Van Elk pricing, and then maybe I'll be able to achieve that. Someday.
So Jen and I charge $100 or we pay $100 per hour to associate photographers typically. And then second photographers do not make that much money. They're typically somewhere between 25 and 50, depending on their experience and depending on what they ask for, what they want to be paid. So, I mean, it's a negotiation with every single second that we work with. Some of them, like, we've never gone below 25, but I mean, we were talking about this last week, so I'm not too concerned with the second photographer stuff. But associate photographers, I mean, the wedding is riding on them, basically. So they deserve to be paid more money. Like, if they screw up, like, you're screwed as the person who employed them. So, like, you got to compensate them a lot better than a second shooter or whatever, or even just like a lead photographer. Like if you're doing, like if I were doing video and we hired an associate to work with me, like even though technically, like as a photographer, associate photographer, even though technically I could kind of like guide them throughout the day and tell them what to shoot or what not to shoot, like if I'm doing video and they're doing photos, like it's still on them to actually get the shots. Like it's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. But yeah, associate photographers, we also, Jen and I allow them to use all the photos that they take, like in their personal portfolio, post them on their website. They can post them to social media, like we talked about last week for second photographers. Just they have to wait until we get a blog post up about whatever it is, and like we share the photos first, and they have to say that they're working for us when they shot them, just like when second shooters post stuff that they were shot when working with us. We don't get a lot of associate photographers asking for that, though, really. The most they might ask for is, like, portfolio stuff, but, like, they don't typically want to share on social that they were working for another photographer for some reason. I don't know why, but, you know, it's whatever.
So the associate thing is going well for you?
Yes and no. I mean, it's like all things. You have some wins, some successes, and some fails. And
can we learn from your fails? What is failing about your associate program?
We had some associate photographers, like Jen interviewed a bunch of people, and then they were just like, oh, we thought we'd be working more weddings for you guys this year. And we're like, oh, this is our first year doing associates. We expected it to be really low. We didn't see this as like a part-time job for you or something, you know? So,
and
it was just kind of like making sure that we had said to them ahead of time, like, you know, you may only get like one or two weddings out of this, and it's really more of like a trial year to see how this whole associate thing goes.
Yeah. I have so much stress on wedding days where we have a wedding and I know our associate's out shooting a wedding. And I think that's just part of being a control freak and knowing that there are elements happening that are I'm responsible for, but they're outside my control.
I've done a few engagement shoots for couples who booked like the associate package so far too.
Yeah, so
and
have
that's
I.
That's always an interesting and unique thing because we still feel like if they like even if we can't have the associate photographer who's going to shoot their wedding or whatever do their engagement shoot, then you know it's still Jen doesn't want to be the one shooting their engagement shoot because she doesn't want to give them like the false impression that she'll be shooting their wedding as well. So, and then there's a few of our associate weddings where none of the associate photographers that we interviewed with are actually available on the day to do the wedding. So I will be shooting some of the associate weddings for Jen and I's company. So it's going to be interesting this year how it all works out. But
So do you have some sort of a calendar system in place?
Sorry, my daughter just walked in. She's walking out. What was your question, Dustin?
Okay, it's only after midnight.
She took a nap at 5 and slept till like 8 or 9, so she's going to be up for a little while.
That's why you're so hyped up.
Oh, yeah.
My question was, so how do you organize? Like for me, in our associate shooter, the biggest annoyance is the chain of date availability. So the inquirer comes in and then I will immediately text and call her asking if she's available. She's obviously a busy photographer, mom, mother, wife, all that stuff. And you know, it might be hours before I hear back from her. And it's just that lag time, even though it's totally normal and, you know, acceptable, drives me bananas.
No, I completely understand that, but I mean, you got to understand, like any business, you if they're not in the office with you, you can't just walk down and ask them a direct question right away. So you got to expect anytime you text or email, it's going to be a little while until you get a response. And I mean,
I know, I just that this is I want to set up some sort of a shared calendar or something.
This is the reason why Jen and I work with several different associate photographers. And we still have had problems since me being the one who's going to be shooting a few of the associate weddings. So it's all cool, though, in the end. Like, I'm super pumped. The few engagement shoots I've done with like the clients who I will be shooting their weddings as well have gone super well. They've been super awesome people. The only thing that's been frustrating is their engagement shoots didn't come with the rights to the photos. And like, seriously, I've done two of the engagement shoots for clients who I'll actually be shooting their weddings too, you know, and those were maybe the two best engagement shoots I've ever done. And I wanted to share the photos so bad. And it's like, but they didn't purchase the photos, so I can't share the photos. 'Cause then they could, you know, screenshot the photos or whatever and steal them. So it's just super frustrating. Like, one was awesome, dude. It was, we rescheduled twice because it was supposed to rain. And then the day when we actually went through with the shoot, when it's supposed to be sunny, it started raining. And so, like, we're just stuck under a tree for like 15, 20 minutes, can't do anything because it's downpouring rain. And then it lets up a little bit and the sun comes out and it's sprinkling. And I was just like, look, we've been under a tree this whole time and all three of us are wet. I was like, are you guys cool with going out in the rain? And so they like just went out in the rain and we did like a series of shots in the rain with the sun like backlighting them and stuff. And I was like super pumped about the photos and how they turned out and then can't share a single one.
So they're not, so they didn't end up purchasing the rights after the fact?
They said several times during the shoot they were definitely going to purchase the photos. I showed them a few photos on the back of the camera and they're like, oh my gosh, we have to get these photos. And just hasn't happened. So it happens, man.
So walk me through that process, because that's sort of a something I used to do a long time ago and have gotten away from simply because I had one bride that left me a negative review go ballistic on me for it. And so the package is set up, I assume, with what you would call like a free engagement session.
Jen
or something
primes
like
them
that.
Or I prime them if it's my company ahead of time that you are definitely not getting any of these photos at all. It's just for me to get to know you, to shoot around with you, see what your personality is like. And then afterwards, you can see the photos and you can choose to buy some if you want. But this is not
included
in your package.
But how do you phrase it? Obviously, you don't sell it like that. How do you phrase it? Is it a free session?
It's a free session to get to know you. And then you have the option to purchase the photos after the session if you would like to. But you are under no obligation to purchase the photos.
Correct. But then how do you sell the photos after the fact? What is the mechanism in place to convert that into a sale?
We send them a pass gallery and they can see all the photos on the pass gallery with like a watermark or something. And then if they want to buy all the photos, they can. Or if they just want to buy a few of the photos, they can flag the photos they want to buy. We can see that on our end. And then we can send them the photos that they wanted to buy after they pay us.
So it's what you would call a soft sell.
Oh, yeah, so soft, baby.
It's not like, hey, come by our house, sit here, look at all the photos on our, you know, laptop or TV.
Yeah, no, we're not hard selling.
Got it. Yeah, I'm thinking about next year moving to more in-person sales type approach. And
you make more money from less shoots that way, buddy. At least that's what everybody on Facebook and their come take my training courses class things say. I did $4,000 average in my senior photo sessions just on print sales alone. I only had to do like 40 senior sessions and look at me.
I mean, Michaela, we spoke about her earlier. She went to a mentor session down in Nashville, Tennessee. And that person did glamour photography, which is a realm she's looking to branch into.
Glamour like boudoir or glamour like glamour shots from when we were kids?
No, not like boudoir, more of like, you know, women that just want to get like great photos of themselves, like come in, get their hair done, their makeup done, like boudoir, but just not naked. Like that kind of thing.
Most boudoir shoots that Jen does, nobody gets naked in.
But I mean, not like sexy, risque type stuff. It's more of like, I just
this
want
is for
really...
women who don't want to feel sexy. They don't want to feel beautiful in their body. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
They do. They
no,
just don't
no, they don't
want
to feel
do
sexy.
It.
You just said it. Yeah, I got it.
Anyways, she said that the photographer typically does anywhere from like $2,000 to $4,000 in in-person sales after the session. And I was just like blown away. And she doesn't do any weddings. This is all she does.
Yeah, look, everybody who comes in for their glamour shots, they want a 10-foot canvas to put on the wall to scar their children for the rest of their lives. Like, don't you know how it works? I'm sorry, these aren't sexy. Oh, shoot. Yeah, no, cool. 10-foot photo, that's great.
What she does that I thought was interesting, though, is she does have... like IKEA or like some sort of like a black and white, like black frame with white mat. And she'll have like, as you come into the studio, you'll have like 11 by 14s just framed and matted so that way, whatever, you know, you could actually purchase something right then and there.
Wait, so this photographer that this third hand knowledge that you have of a photographer that another photographer met with that, you know, They actually print out the photos in advance on canvases and then offer to sell them.
Not canvases, just like normal prints on their own printer. Ugh. And then so that when you walk in, there's already like her favorite, like 5 or 10 or whatever photos framed. Because I guess the hardest part about in-person sales is not being able to tangibly walk, like go home with something.
We have been on this tangent way too long. How would you go about hiring a photographer, either regularly or just one time, to cover a wedding you can't photograph? That's from Andrew.
So, I mean, what I did with you is I just called you guys up, freaking out, and I said, hey, Steve, hey, Jen, could you guys shoot this wedding for me? And you're like, yeah, sure. Happy to help.
So the way this works,
that's why it's great to have a network of photography friends that are amazing like you to call up and lean on in times of dire need.
Yeah, which brings me to my next point. A comment on Andrew Feller's question in our Facebook group was from Stephen Pike, and he said, my biggest fear is getting sick ahead of a wedding. Yes, I know other photographers, but peak season, short notice, eek.
Yeah, I think both of you on this podcast have talked about powering through a wedding in a sick state.
So we've talked about powering through a wedding, but I want to share a little advice with all the listeners, not just the people in the group who maybe already saw what I wrote to Steven. And that is, you have to trick every other photographer in your community into thinking that you're a good person. So this is what you need to do. If you are afraid you might get sick and miss a wedding, what typically happens is when you're sick, you post something to a Facebook group or you text like other photographers you know, and you're like, I'm sick, I can't shoot this wedding. Is anybody out there who could help me? And if there are other photographers out there who could help you, they're going to say yes if they like you, if they want to help you. So how do you go about tricking other photographers into thinking that you're a good person? Well, here's how you do it, Dustin. You want to get on that social media, all up in that social media. You want to slide into their DMs. You want to tell them how great they are. Like, just set a calendar reminder. Like, once a month, I'm going to slide in the DMs of all the local photographers and just be like, you know what? You're beautiful, baby. You're a handsome man. Child, and you know, just slide some compliments in there to them. Next up, anytime you see another photographer say like, I'm sick, I can't shoot this wedding, you gotta be like, I can shoot that wedding for you, baby.
Or do what I do, or use backhanded compliments where they leave them questioning, was that really a compliment?
That's not going to work. We want people to think you are the best person on the face of the earth. So then...
like, I love then what you did with that composition.
Here's the other thing you want to do. You want to find out when all of the other photographers in your area, when their birthday is and when their business anniversary is, and then you send them cards on those days and you're like, look, baby, I love you. You're doing great. Happy birthday or happy business anniversary. Now, this is all going to work out because then when you get sick, you're like, hey, I need some help. All these people are going to come to your aid because you've now successfully tricked them into thinking that you're a good person. This is the tactic that I've used with Dustin all these years. I compliment him all the time. I tell him he's a great person and he thinks that I'm a really good friend of his. And, you know, we do this podcast together based on that. And then when Jen and I, when our daughter was sick and had to be hospitalized on the day of the wedding, I reached out to Dustin. I was like, hey, baby, will you help me out and shoot this wedding?
Baby.
And Dustin said yes, because I tricked him. But I hate Dustin. We're not friends at all. We never do anything together. He's the worst person in the world. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm sorry, Dustin. Stop crying, buddy. Oh, gosh.
Okay. I apologize. Yeah. My microphone's getting a little wet.
No, I mean, your whole shirt's wet. Yeah, I know. We all get it, man. But you got to make people love you. And here's the other way you can make people love you. Every few days, just post a selfie of yourself on your Instagram story where you're just kissing the camera. People love it. They feel like they're getting a kiss from you. It's so good. Dustin, do you have any tips for getting people to like you? Just faking it real hard. You can't let them know you're faking it, though. If they catch on that you're faking it, man, that's even worse than if you didn't like them in the first place. Right, Dustin?
I love everyone. I have a big heart.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm not.
When you're faking it, everybody can tell. Like when you're faking it like Dustin is right now, everyone can tell. And then nobody wants to work with you, baby.
Except your wife, Steve. She can tell when you're faking it.
Was that a jizz joke on our podcast? You sullied our podcast with a sexual joke. I can't believe this.
And that's all for tonight, folks. Good night. And that's been another episode.
What would you do if you got sick on the day of a wedding? We've already joked around about sending an iPad out on wheels like a little robot to shoot the wedding. What else could you do?
You reach out to someone. I did a wedding, I believe it was last year or the year before. I was so sick, where I was throwing up all over the place and had to leave the reception, that I said I would never, ever, no matter what, put myself in that situation again. And so I had a holiday party this Christmas that I also got sick at, and hired someone else to shoot it for me because it was just not worth it to me to be put in that situation again.
Now, that is another great idea, but Dustin, have you considered, and this is a little bit different from what I was saying before about tricking people into thinking you're a good person. Another tactic you could use is just do some research on all the photographers in your area. Really, really get the dirt on them and then blackmail them. You don't want to shoot this wedding for me? I have photos of you cheating on your wife. Boom. Done. They're shooting that wedding for you. You might not even have to pay
them.
They're
shooting every wedding.
Yeah, they're going to do great work. You know it. They're going to hustle.
You now own their firstborn.
Yeah, so what kind of blackmail do you have on the photographers around you? I know that's kind of your thing, Dustin.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, when I'm not busy doing a million other things, I follow all the other photographers around town. Snapping photos, diving in dumpsters.
That's why you got that 100 to 400 lens with the 2x magnifier, so you can get those shots that you need.
Yep.
Yeah. Dumpster diving? Yep. That's nice, man. You're really doing some sleuth work on this. You're like a real detective, a real dick.
All about the receipts.
Oh, yeah. Got to get those receipts, buddy. Dustin,
all about those
let's
tax
take
deductions.
One question not from our group. Okay, just a random Facebook group, just like the good old days.
Random.
Nancy from the Facebook group says, do you go with on-camera speed light for convenience, or do you take off-camera flash gear, speed light, pocket flash, strobe?
I use on-camera flash all the time.
All the time?
All the time for like receptions and all that stuff, yeah. Next
question.
I've seen
photos from weddings you've shot where you have a light on a light stand with something like over the top of it. Was it a softbox? Is that what it's called? I mean, it looks like a Walmart bag wrapped around a pail, but you know, whatever.
I just have someone open their shirt. It's called the Steve light.
No. Yeah. I mean, I am very white. I've worked very hard to keep that skin white specifically for that reason. But
no, I use off-camera flash for portraits. At sunset.
There we go. Now I gotta know about, you know, convenience versus what looks best. So you're talking about
off-camera flash looks best.
Yeah, you wanna put that work in?
For portraits, yeah, that's sort of our brand. It's we're selling high quality, epic, amazing portraits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When possible, weather permitting.
You can't do a high quality, epic portrait when you're inside?
No, you can. I just like it if you put that like underneath your tagline. Dustin Kern Photography, epic, amazing, awesome portraits, weather permitting.
That's nice. I like that. I mean, we've talked about it before. Jen and I typically go with off-camera flash gear for the receptions. We like that look a lot. And even though, as Dustin has said before, people might not look at it and think, oh, that looks great, we want something that kind of sets us apart from other photographers so people can recognize our work more clearly when they see it online. Which is why,
like other photographers.
Which is why you do the whole like epic shots. No, man, most people that we know are more like you, where they rock that on-camera flash throughout the entire reception.
No, they rock it, but I'm saying they recognize you're not rocking it.
Yeah, yeah. So we want to be a little bit different. I don't know if it's ever going to work or pan out, if people are going to love it or not, but I love it. And the important thing to me is that I love doing my work and that I'm having fun. So,
yeah.
Dustin, are you having fun?
That should be a part of your associate photographer packages, like package A, on-camera flash, package B, $1,000 more, off-camera flash.
No, we vetted all of our associate photographers based on whether or not they shot with off-camera flash at the if they knew how to do that. So kind of a thing for us, man. We're kind of trying to stick with that look.
I could know how to do it.
I know you know how to do it. I know you know how to do it.
Doesn't mean I'll do it, though.
I don't understand that, buddy. All you ever talk about whenever I talk about doing off-camera flash for, like, reception and stuff is how much you love the way it looks. And so all I wonder is why you don't do it.
Oh, I do. I absolutely 100% love
how it looks.
It takes,
like, 5 seconds to throw a flash up on a light stand.
Yeah.
You don't even have to bag it with your Walmart bag and your pail.
I know. But then I lose my flash on my camera.
That's okay. You got those Sony cameras now. They focus anywhere. You don't need a flash on your camera anymore.
I know. I really want to switch to Sony.
Get rid of your Nikons, your Nikons. Just go straight up Sony.
Just waiting for Profoto to drop a Sony A1.
Is that the big thing for you? Like, without a Profoto Sony A1, you just can't?
I can't do it.
Alrighty. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast with Dustin and Steve. If you want to help us out, jump on iTunes or Stitcher or somewhere else and leave us a 5-star review. You can even do it on Facebook like David Ferry did.
Why only 5 stars? Why only 5 stars?
We don't accept anything less than the best. That's why. We only have the best
listeners.
We are
worth more than 5.
We only want the best reviews from those best listeners. Best all the way down. The best podcast, the best listeners, the best reviews. If you want to connect, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Wedding Photo Hangover, or on Twitter at WedPickHangover. Huge pause there. Dustin is on Instagram at Dustin_McKibben. And Steven is at Steven Van Elk. If you want to get involved with the awesome community of listeners, join the Wedding Hangover Facebook group. There will be a link in the show notes, or you can just do a search on Facebook. It's that easy, baby.
It's a pretty, you know, hard process to get into that group, though.
Yeah, you have to request it, and Steve has to say okay, or maybe one out of a million, Dustin says okay. If you thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Your head is pounding, your limbs feel like dead weight, and your entire being aches for the sweet embrace of death. That's right, next Sunday after you shoot another wedding.
I just want to say, though, if Dustin approves you into the Facebook group, there was a little research, a little effort that went into that, so you should feel a little bit more special if you got into the group because of me.
Yeah, I'll tell that spammer who I booted out of the group that he should have felt more special.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell me about that? I missed the boat on that one. It happened, and it was deleted and gone before I even got a chance to see it.
Some guy was in our group. I don't know how he got in, but he posted a like spam thing. It looked like a flyer for photography services, but it was in like a different language or something. Might not have even been photography services. It might have been something else. I couldn't understand it. All I knew is that it was very clear based on the marketing promotional like material in the flyer photo that it was spam. Like it was an advertisement. And several people flagged it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I sent them all thanks in the group. They're good people. If you see spam in the group, flag it. And if it's a post that Dustin did, flag it. Okay, Dustin doesn't ever post at the group. We're good.
It's because it's wedding season and Dustin is extremely busy. I don't get 5 weeks off in a month like Steve does until Jen cracks down on him and makes him shoot. So
yeah, no.
That's why he has plenty of time to take this audio test to really improve the quality of this podcast.
Yeah, I'm not spending $150 to learn how to use a program that I don't ever want to use again. So yeah, no, not going to happen.
Well, if we get enough listeners that pledge
on the Patreon
for our... For our USB delivery option.
Yeah, the $3,000 a week option.
Yes. Jeez. For USB drive.
Dustin's just rolling in money right now from all those pledges.
Can I mention they are custom branded?
Dustin, do you want to tell me about a new like show or something that you're checking out that you're watching right now real quick before we go? Because it's real late and we've been recording real long and I want to be done. So come on, give me the goods. We're going to do a little script notes thing here. Share one cool thing. That's what they do at the end of script. Every script notes episode. That's one of my favorite podcasts.
Why can't we be our own podcast? Why do we have to be like all of your favorite podcasts?
I just want to do fun stuff. I want to put out some good positive vibes out. We've been trying to do that all episode. This is the positive vibes episode, the good feels episode. The everybody going surfing Beach Boys episode. Come on, surfing USA.
Yeah.
Oh, you're more of a Pet Shop Sounds Across the Universe sort of fan? Yeah. Okay. Whatever, dude. Whatever.
I'm waiting for your thing that you were going to say.
I was going to say script notes, man. That's where the whole one cool thing comes from. Putting out good positive vibes into the world right at the end of the episode. Dustin, what you got for me?
I've been watching Madam Secretary on CBS.
Oh, how's that?
I really needed something that wasn't going to distract me too much, and I love
something that wasn't like political, wouldn't send you down into a dark hole.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it's done. But yeah, I wanted something because I've been really missing my House of Cards fix.
Oh gosh, that's a dark hole.
Yeah, which typically gets released around this time, and I don't think they're going to have a new season of that one. And so I thought I'd give this a shot. And it's actually not been too bad. It's not too great either. It's not the West Wing I was hoping for. Let's just say that.
Well, Dustin, if you want to hop on those positive, happy vibe train that I'm on, you can listen to some of that McElroy stuff.
Unlike you, I don't like to listen to other podcasts. I like to come into each and every episode we do of the Wedding Photo Hangover podcast pure. And so to do that, I listen to no other podcasts, not even ours.
I agree. You'd never make that joke again, Dustin.
It's okay, bud.
All right. Well, I hate you. Goodbye. Wedding Photo Hangover was edited this week by Steve Van Elk of Bespoke Tone. Go to Bespoke Tone for all of your photo, video, and audio editing needs.
Woo!